This is Karen Lyle with Latitude 38's Max Ebb on Sailsport Talk. Let's eavesdrop on a conversation between Max Ebb and Lee Helm on Sailing Science.
Question for Lee Helm.
Yeah?
On the weather map, why does the wind always flow clockwise around a high pressure system?
Okay, Max. So, which way does the Earth turn?
There you go with that Socratic dialogue again. Let me think a second. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west, so the Earth must be turning the other way, counterclockwise.
Yes. Now remember, the air wants to flow from high pressure to low.
I didn't know that air had free will. I think of a high pressure system as syrup poured in the middle of a pancake. Air descends to the surface and then spreads out away from the high pressure at the center.
Yeah, the air has momentum and will try to go straight. But the Earth is turning underneath it. So to us people on the rotating Earth, we think the air is going clockwise.
So it's more like maple syrup poured on a pancake on a record player. Is this a Northern Hemisphere record player or Southern Hemisphere record player?
Northern, for sure. The air totally wants to go straight. But we're looking at it from the spinning Earth, a rotating frame of reference. So to us, it seems like the air is always being flung to the right. This is called Coriolis acceleration, named for the French mathematician J.J. Coriolis, 1792 to 1843. Snap!
I saw that at a science museum. It was a merry-go-round with kids trying to roll a soccer ball to each other. Looked like magic. The ball would not roll straight.
Yeah, but actually, the ball really was going straight. It was the observers who were rotating, so the ball gave the illusion of rolling along a curved path.
So much for magic.
Well, try this in your car. Adjust the heater vent to aim the stream of warm air at your right ear. Then make a sharp left turn, simulating the counterclockwise rotation of the Northern Hemisphere Earth. The air curves to the right and hits you in the face.
But don't cars turn much faster than the Earth turns?
Yeah, for sure, but the Earth is really big and wind is relatively slow moving on that scale. So think of how far the air moves in 6 hours.
Couple hundred miles.
Yeah, and in that time, the Earth has turned 90 degrees. The air is going sideways. If it started out going south, now it's going west. Coriolis totally dominates, flinging the air to the right.
But the air is really going straight, just like the ball in the merry-go-round.
Yeah, well, the high pressure is trying to push the air out and away from the center of the high pressure system. Coriolis is always turning it back in towards the center. Coriolis and pressure are in balance. And the result is that wind circles clockwise around the high, parallel to the isobars.
Isobars? You mean those lines of equal pressure, like contour lines on a topo map?
Yeah, correct. Except that they're usually missing on those dumbed-down TV maps with little pictures of rain clouds and sunshine with smiley faces instead of real data.
Those would be great maps for radio.
Most visual aids are equally good for radio, Max. Gotta go. Bye.
All right, if it's Tuesday, it must be Belgium. And, of course, it's always time for SailsportTalk.com. Today, joining us on Skype, Karen Lyle is with us. How you doing, Karen?
I'm doing great, Rick. Just can't seem to get away from you even on any Tuesday, wherever I am in the world.
Yes, and also joining us on the line is our guest today, Commodore Alan Test. He is Commodore of the IYFR San Francisco Fleet. Alan, thanks for being with us. When I say fleet, that sounds like an armada of warships. What do we mean by fleet?
Well, it's basically, you could say it's a chapter of an organization. Just because it's boating related, we call it a fleet instead of a chapter.
Karen, let's just go back and forth with the questions. Your turn.
Sure. Well, and actually, Alan, I think the IYFR San Francisco fleet, of which I was the former commodore, I brought you in. I'm so glad that you're there, out there serving, has more than 33 different boats and ships. It's got the Lady Washington and the Hawaiian Chieftain and the Matthew Turner and the Call of the Sea, plus power boats and recreational boats that belong to the members. So when you – and you have a boat too, Alan, right? You're a sailor.
I do. I have a 36-foot Hunter sailboat that we take out on the bay regularly.
And you sail out of Richmond Yacht Club, I think.
That's correct.
And what is Richmond Yacht Club doing? What's the relationship between Richmond Yacht Club and the IYFR San Francisco fleet? What things are you doing together?
Well, Yeah, the yacht club is just, you know, a traditional yacht club. It had some Rotarian members. When I joined, I was actually the first member of the IYFR to join, and I've now gotten involved in some of our service projects. They put in a lift, which was done by Rotarians from the Richmond Rotary Club, a lift to lift people from a wheelchair onto a boat, and we now have what we call an adaptive sailboat, which is a 17-foot RS Venture that has two bucket seats and joysticks that can be used by people from that are primarily in wheelchairs.
My grandfather worked at the Richmond Shipyard Number 3 during World War II. I was born in Richmond, California. I went to junior high and high school there. It's cool to see that this the roots of this yacht club go back to the early 30s. Is that right?
Right. Correct. And another thing that's just starting up, which I, as IYFR, when Rotary got the club interested in and they're now going to do in March and April, the Richmond Yacht Club with Rotarians involved is putting on a blind sailing course for blind sailors.
Well, we had not too long ago Walt Ranieri, a world champion match racer who sails blind. So how what kind of sound signals are you putting up for these blind sailors for the racing and the course?
We're not this particular course is not for racing. What we're doing is we're having matching up on a J-22, a sighted and a blind sailor with an instructor, and it's more of an instructional course rather than racing.
What would you say is the one thing about all the members of your fleet that is the most taxing for you, or is it really a pleasure to be Commodore? I mean, do you have anything that causes you stress when you're in charge of all these members?
No, it's really not. It's not like being the Commodore of a yacht club. You've held the politics, and my wife's actually involved in a different aspect of Rotary leadership, where of course there can be a lot of issues with personalities. The Yachting Fellowship is really, the members are there because they want to wonder, they want to be into boating, and also they want the fellowship and the service projects that go along with it. So it's kind of a people have self-selected themselves in with, wanting to be part of it or not part of it, depending on their level of involvement and interest.
Well, and I think it came about in England in 1946 with the Rotarians who were at an international convention. Can you tell us for a moment just what an international Rotary convention is and how many members, just a snippet of what Rotary is?
Well, Rotary is it's an international service project. It's 115 years old service club organization. And there are, I think, 35,000 clubs in almost 200 countries around the world with 1.2 million members. And once a year, somewhere in the world, they have an international convention. This June, it's going to be in Honolulu, and they're expecting about 30,000 Rotarians from all over the world.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So, when you are a Commodore, by the way, we're speaking with Alan Tess, Commodore of the IYFR San Francisco Fleet. Is this something in the military, like when you, the years of service, you keep getting promoted up the ranks, or was this something that you needed to be elected to? How did you get the position?
Well, it was more just being an involved member, and at some point you get asked, gee, Alan, would you like to be the rear commodore for your district? And I said, yes, Karen, asked me, bent my arm. No. And then you just move up from there based on your interest and experience and whether or not, the other people in the organization feel that you're the person they want to have move up.
Well, I'm going to confess, Alan, that the past commodores had a private meeting to vote you into office. and so what happens is in Rotary, it's a little bit different than IYFR is a little different than the yacht clubs in that you don't move up the chairs. There are rear commodores. There's three rear commodores at the same time because there's all these different districts. And so the past commodores have a meeting and they vote on who's going to be the vice commodore. And then the vice commodore becomes the commodore the next year. So that's how it happened for you. I mean, I know because I'm not just a broadcaster, but I was a former.
Right.
I'm one of those past commodores for the IYFR fleet. Anyway, well, Rick, to you for your question.
A lot of times, Alan, as we know, we think of yachting and we think of, someone with a pipe and an ascot who has a trust fund. But there's actually a lot of opportunities for people who don't own their own boats or maybe think they'll never have the opportunity. And I know that's something the Richmond Yacht Club has tried to embrace, right?
You're correct. In fact, this Saturday, the Richmond Yacht Club is having what they call Sail a Small Boat Day. And it's anybody in the general public can show up, sign a waiver, put on a life jacket, and one of the members will take you out sailing on a boat.
Wow.
And that's pretty common now because, you know, they're trying to get more and more young people into boating, and there's a lot of boat clubs around and a lot of opportunities. And that's one of the things we're trying to say, Rotary being a service club, one of the things we're trying to do through IYFR is not just be a club where you're with a fellowship where I can get to know other yachting Rotarians around the world, but also doing some local service projects is how I got involved in this, what we call inclusive sailing for the blind and people in wheelchairs, is why not, if I want to do some, you know, local service projects, do them in an activity that I want to do anyway. Because there's a lot of people out there we found in wheelchairs and blind who would love to sail, just don't know how or where to do it. And so we're trying to set up, you know, venues and programs where that can actually happen.
Well, Alan, also the IYFR San Francisco fleet has, and IYFR internationally has been really involved in the Pacific Interclub Yachting Association Foundation's Wheelchair Regatta, I think,
correct,
at Ensenal Yacht Club. And so can you tell us a little bit what the Wheelchair Regatta is? And that's mostly a powerboat experience.
Well, what they do, this is once a year, they get as many volunteers as they can, and it's just phenomenal the number that show up. And they bring veterans from all over Northern California, most of whom are, you know, elderly, confined to wheelchairs, and they bring them down, and they literally have people from the Oakland and Alameda fire departments to take them and lift them in their wheelchairs up onto these boats and then take them out for a day around San Francisco Bay and then serve them lunch when they come back.
Alan, have you, in all your sailing days, can you regale us with a tale of great peril through which you emerged surviving?
how long have you got?
I got a few minutes.
I would say the was recently. I actually was out racing on an Ultimate 20, which is just a fabulous little racing boat, and we're out in a day of wind that was probably too strong for the fleet that day. And I have to say, I had no idea how I didn't go over it twice. I thought I was going into the drink and didn't. And that got pretty harrowing because it was very cold and very windy that day.
Mm. Have you ever had anyone try to mutiny while you're on the boat, like a little mini bounty, Fletcher Christian, Captain Bligh situation?
No, just not really. Just that doesn't count the times my wife wants me to do something differently, does it? No. No, see.
I don't think that counts. No, Ellen. Now your wife is actually above you in the leadership command in the Rotary district. When
that's
she's
correct.
Not in the role of your wife, what
right.
is her role in how many Rotary clubs is she over?
She's the district governor for District 5150, which is San Mateo, San Francisco, and Marin, and she is the district governor over 45 clubs in those three counties. And unlike the IYFR leadership, there's always a lot of different personality conflicts and issues that she has to deal with. And the other thing is my wife in sailing. I'm very fortunate about. I have a wife that likes to sail as much or more than I do, so we have a great time out on the bay.
One final question for you. When you have a position that you do like this of leadership, is it kind of like, look, I want to maintain under my watch that everything's hunky-dory, or do you want to, like, reinvent the wheel and leave some kind of legacy? Where are you there?
Well, I want to keep the continuities because we have members of joined for a lot of different reasons, some for the fellowship, some so that they can go use their membership card to go visit other yacht clubs. I would say the one thing that I'm trying to add to it is just to this inclusive sailing so that we can attract possibly more people into boating because they like to do, you know, into the yachting fellowship because they would like to use it to do some service projects also.
There he is, Commodore Alan Tess with the IYFR San Francisco fleet. Alan, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It's great talking to you, Ellen.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, and Karen, we got a minute or two here. Did I hear you say that you were also once a Commodore?
I was the first woman Commodore, actually, in the IYFR San Francisco fleet. Before I got into yacht clubs, I was a Rotarian out of the Walnut Creek Rotary Club, and the Rotary Club of Walnut Creek, and the membership director happened to be the international Commodore for over all the 3,000 members in 109 fleets in the world. And he invited me to be on his board. So my first position actually was serving on the international board. And then later I was speaking over at the St. Francis Yacht Club, and all the Rotarians had come and they asked me if I would be the Commodore, because one of the Commodores had to step down from the position and they needed someone who could just walk in and take the reins and do it. And that's what I did. And I was two Commodores ago.
Here I thought my favorite Commodore was Lionel Richie, and the whole time it was actually Karen Lyle. So Karen,
I think Lionel has me beat on that though. He's awesome.
Just before we go to break, what is the Rotary Club?
A Rotary Club is a service club that is a vocational club. There are people of all different vocations. And the thing about Rotary is that they say that all vocations are equal. So you've got people who are, you know, the chairs of raising money for John Muir Hospital next to people who have a carpet cleaning business, and everybody treats everyone equally and is, because their goal is to serve their city. And so there's a Rotary Club in every city. If you see that little wheel.
Yeah. And when, no, I've seen it forever. I never knew what it was. Yeah. But the brain surgeon is sitting next to the bricklayer.
Yes, basically.
All right. Yeah, that's your new catchphrase, by the way, for the Rotary Club. You can use it.
I like it. Thank you, Rick.
All right, Karen.
I can count on you for that.
All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
That's Karen Lyle with SalesportTalk.com. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.